Everyone says the recordings are good, so I'm very happy about that.
Chris. I have a question about what I asked last week.
I don't know. Okay, rolling? Okay, great. Okay, and tomorrow you'll be here, so you don't have a problem. Wonderful. Okay, today it's February 10th, 2013, and I want to say good afternoon to the wonderful students in front of me and to the many that are listening across the expanse of the big world. And I also want to state to those on the eastern seaboard of the United States, I hope that you were not too adversely affected by the tremendous snowstorm. Here in Israel, Baruch Hashem, the weather is great, so if you don't like snow, come in Aliyah, and it will solve at least that problem. It may bring you other problems, but you learn to live with them. Okay, I want to dedicate this shiur today in memory of Rebbetzin Elie Teitelbaum. Elie Teitelbaum, her son Ari was a dear student, her daughter-in-law, Zahava was a dear student. Her daughter Nomi, Zichrona Levracha, died young this last year, probably impacted upon her mother's health, which was not good. She was an Isha Gadola who really had a hard life. She lost her mother and sister in the Holocaust. She married Rabbi Simcha Teitelbaum, the son of Rabbi Aaron Teitelbaum. These were great Jews. Reb Simcha Teitelbaum organized Yeshiva of Central Queens, that famous day school that is so big today and has endless thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of graduates. It goes back to Reb Simcha Teitelbaum. Unfortunately, he died young, and Elie was widowed for many, many decades, and Reb Simcha is forgotten today. If you look into Joe Kamenetsky's memoir book, Rabbi Dr. Kamenetsky, I think it's called People I Have Known, but whatever, you'll see a beautiful picture of Reb Simcha Teitelbaum. These were giants of chinuch, and the man's kol acharei ha'isha, it's the woman who has to encourage, the woman that pays a price at times. We don't know how to treat rabbis, rebbetzins, widows, pensions should be proper, etc. And I want to dedicate the Elie Teitelbaum. I feel very bad because on the plane to America, her daughter-in-law was going to take her and bring her in Aliyah to live with them in Efrat, and the poor lady comes to Israel and barely survived 2 months here. Tomorrow I'll say a few words about Rabbi Dr. David Hartman, who passed away today. It's big news in Israel, and we'll talk about that tomorrow. Let me roll. I have a word that I want to do today. First of all, last week's shiur, just to recapitulate, we saw the Chazon Ish, and many Gedolim follow the Chazon Ish. We dig up manuscripts, libraries across the world, Genizat, who knows what is accurate and what is not. When all is said and done, we have a Mesorah, and the Rav, for instance, even Ad Kedei Kach, Chesky can close the door, even Ad Kedei Kach, if you can prove that Tchelet is Tchelet, and it's the real Tchelet, and you know, there are various theories, even though today they claim they really have the real Tchelet, but nevertheless, the Rav would not put it on. We don't have a Mesorah. And that's the way he related to manuscripts. We saw another point of view, the Shiltot, we saw the great Netziv of Elazhin, and what was fascinating about the Netziv of Elazhin, his generosity. Imagine saying, anyone can republish this Sefer, you have my permission, all that I ask, if you do it during my lifetime or my son Reb Chaim Berlin's lifetime, let us know so we can make corrections, we can make emendations. And these are Gedolei Yisrael, and we need examples like this. I need not tell you, there is so much scandal around us. You fellas only know the election scandal because all the news of what Rav Avadya says evidently hits home with you. But you don't know that an Av Beitin of Yerushalayim, who I know, was just arrested and he's been questioned and he's questioned again, and his daughter and his son-in-law, and these are all Haredim, and money and the Beitin, and terrible, terrible implications. And it doesn't end there. You all know Rabbi Pinto. You all know Biala Rebbe was just found guilty and fined a tremendous sum. And the scandals and the example of the Netziv is what we need. And I'll talk more. We need a lot more than the Netziv, but Rakefet is wise enough to know that we can't win on this level. Yetzer lev hadam ra minu uvrav. And that is sad. And that's why, if you're going to be a Rebbe, look into the mirror and check that you are an honest Jew. A Rebbe has to be a tzaddik, a chassid. He has to be his inside like his outside like his inside. There cannot be contradiction. He has to be an Evet Hashem. And if you have that ability, be a Rebbe. If you don't have that ability, there are many other professions you can go into. The world is available to a YU graduate, as you know. Okay. Then we went in, we're leading into the Sri Deyesh. And I showed you Professor Tweski's scholarship and got involved in a whole discussion on Professor Shmuel Krauss, Samuel Krauss, his editing of the Ra'abad or the Ravid on Baba Kama. So I just want to say, I left you with an interesting question and I showed you, here we have a man who later in life, this is a yeshiva boy from Gedolei Yisrael, his father, his uncle, we're talking the Atlas family, and later in life he's at Hebrew Union College and he's matir, remarrying without a get, dinner de malchut, the dinner, and a civil divorce is sufficient. So I raised the question, how much can we be samach on him? And I alluded to the fact that a tremendous discussion broke out on Mark Shapiro's doctorate on the Sri Deyesh, because Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg retained a warm relationship with his youth chaver, his chaver from yeshiva days, whom he calls Hagon Reb Shmuel Atlas. So Rabbi Rubin, and Michael, you'll tell this to Yitz, because he's not here. Rabbi Rubin said to me after class, what's the problem? We all know that Rabbi Meir learned from Achetz, the whole Sugir and Chagiger, and their Midrashim, and there's Yerushalmi. And when they asked Rabbi Meir, how can you study with Acher, with Elisha ben Avuya, he's a big apikairis. And Rabbi Meir answered, I threw away the klipot, but I took the seeds. In other words, I didn't take his hashkafa, but I took his learning. So Rabbi Rubin felt this is sufficient to justify learning from Professor Atlas. I thought about it, and I want to raise an issue. It's not so simple, and I'll tell you why. I once gave a whole drasha on Yom Kippur in BMT when we all davened together. It was, you know, many, many years ago. And I spoke about Acher. And I made the point that at least Elisha ben Avuya, even when he became an apikores, he maintained his intellectual honesty. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you recall the Gemara, Acher is he's riding on a horse, Yom Kippur. Elisha ben Avuya, look at it, he's driving a car, a convertible. And Rabbi Meir's running alongside the car. And Rabbi, what was the tradition on this halacha? What was the tradition on that halacha? And Elisha ben Avuya is answering him. And suddenly he says to Rabbi Meir, Meir chazabacha, turn back. Ad kan tchum Shabbos. You can't go any further. This ends the tchum Shabbos. It's as far as you can go on Yom Kippur. As far as you can go on Shabbos. Ad kan tchum Shabbos. So what does that show you? That Rabbi Meir, he didn't believe. You know why he didn't believe. I don't have to go into details now. He saw people falling off a ladder, doing kibbut abayim, and they die. L'man yirich yamechot. Theodicy. He had a terrible problem. Savaralo, Russia Batovlo. And all of us, All of us have this problem. It's in Pirkei Avot. I don't have to elaborate. So much has been written on it in philosophy. And this is why I have difficulty with philosophy, because so much has been written, but there's only one answer, basically. It's Sefer Iyov. And it's very simple. We don't run the world. We don't know the ins and outs of the world. We don't know the next world. We don't know the Cheshbonot. We don't know who people are. I can tell you in my own life, and I've lived, Baruch Hashem, long enough that I start to understand certain things happened, and this person I thought was a tzaddik, oh, what I found out 30, 40 years later, I've never even told my wife. Of course, all right, let her think what she thinks of this person. So the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. I have no answer. Tzaddik b'amunato yichya. Okay? Look at it that way. Yes, Michael.
Out of curiosity, are you familiar with this as a driven leaf by Moses?
Yeah. Of course, of course. It's a powerful book. It's a powerful book. No, I'm very well familiar with it. Of course, it's a powerful book, and it's based upon Acher.
It's honestly written.
Yeah, no. No two ways about it. No two ways about it. Acher is a fascinating individual. But you see, he didn't deny what Judaism is. You're a good Jew yet? You believe this is Judaism.
That's the way it is.
What bothers me, I read it as a teenager, of course. I read it when it came out. It came out in the 50s, if my memory is correct. What bothers me is that Professor Krauss, remember what I showed you last week? You don't need a get. Civil marriage, civil divorce.
About
Atlas. Professor Atlas, what did I say? Professor, I can tell you why I said that, because Professor Shmuel Krauss, there was a big machloket in YU in the 20s if he's frum or not. And he was frum. But Professor Shmuel Atlas, he went to HUC and he says a civil divorce is sufficient. This is not Achea. So I'm not certain that Yitzhak is correct in what he said. I think I am more correct that it's hard to erase your childhood feeling of someone you studied with, you grew up with. You understand? For Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, he could only conceive of Reb Shmuel Atlas as Hagon Reb Shmuel Atlas, as a tzaddik, as a chassid. Okay, it's food for thought. I don't say there's a black and white answer. Then I want to tell you something cute. I got an email from Professor Avi Susswein, Faculty of Life Sciences, Bar-Ilan University. Dear Rav Raketa, I regularly listen to your shurim, etc. I enjoy it. Beautiful letter. And then he writes to me that he learned Avodah Zarah 68-69, and he used the Ravitz commentary, and he praises it to the sky. He said it was edited from manuscript by Rav Avram Sofer, who we spoke about. That's the Chatam Sofer's great-great-great-great-grandson. And it was a Ketav Yad in the JTS library. Then he questions what I said in class about why the Perish of the Ravid didn't catch on. So I just want to tell Professor Susswein, I don't have to defend myself. I wasn't giving you my opinion. I was calling Professor Isidore Twesky. I wouldn't have an opinion on manuscripts. It's not my field of expertise. You understand on this? I know as much as you do. On what I got my doctorate in, what I did my research in, there, Baruch Hashem, I know a little bit. But I just want to tell Professor Susswein, you have every right to agree or disagree, but it's not Rav Kefid who you have to be contacting. It's Professor Isidore Twesky. And to contact Professor Isidore Twesky, I'm not able to. Maybe Professor Susswein is able to. We'll leave it at that. Okay, but I greatly appreciate the letter, and that's why I don't want to go further with the commentary, because he feels that had the manuscript been available, it would have been, he says, it's as good as Rashi, as explaining to you the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and he had an edited edition, which evidently was not available when Professor Twesky did his research in the 50s. Okay, now I want to come to the high point of today's shiur. And I want to introduce you to Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg. I've spoken about him hundreds of hours over the decades, over the generations. I have a big schut that Mark Shapiro first heard about Professor Weinberg in my class in this building, as I told you. Who would dream he would do his doctorate later on him at Harvard? And as I told you, his Talmud Mivhak's wife first heard about the man whose Talmud she would marry in my class in Mechala in 1971. And Rabbi Chen, here you're going to see something very, very powerful. You see, when you describe Gedolei Yisrael, so there's no question the Rav, he was the basic persona, Eli, was a Rosh Yeshiva. And this is why I have a lot of trouble with all the people who are writing about the Rav and doing doctorates today. I know at Hebrew U, people have interviewed me, and I see they only know the Rav through what has been published and what they can understand. And the most of what has been published is philosophy. They don't realize the Rav, with all the different worlds he was part of, the basic gestalt was no different than Reb Aaron Kotler, no different than Reb Chaim Briska, no different than Reb Elchanan Wasserman. This was the Rav. You take Professor Shaul Lieberman, so there's no question, the man who arguably may have been the greatest bucky in his generation, that's what the Chazon Ish called his first cousin, but he was a scholar, a scientific scholar. You would not think of Reb Shaul Lieberman as a Rosh Yeshiva. And I'm not saying this in any negative fashion whatsoever. Just remember that Reb Aaron Lichtenstein took his class in the late 60s from YU to meet Reb Shaul Lieberman. And he told the class, you're going to meet a Jew who knows Kol HaTorah Kula. And he said to them, you can ask him any question you want. It's as if he just learned the sugya 1 minute ago. And the fellows who went with Reb Aaron to meet Reb Shaul Lieberman were blown away. They asked him questions from all over Shas and Paiskim, and he answered as if he, like, I'm prepared, and this year I know what I'm going to say. I can defend myself. I have the sources. I worked hard to prepare it. 20 years from now, ask me about the Shia. I don't know if I can pull it out so quickly. I need a gamgein. I don't know how to say that in English. I'll stutter. I know how to say it in Yiddish. But the best is in Hebrew. I need a gamgein. See, with Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, and this was part of the tremendous controversy that Dr. Shapiro, Rabbi Dr. Professor Mark Shapiro, Melech Shapiro, engendered. Who was the Sri Deyesh? Was he a Rosh Yeshiva or was he a professor? And the answer is he was both. There was not the harmonious digestion that the Rav had of everything around him. He digested it beautifully, but the basic thrust was the Rosh Yeshiva. And everything he digested, he used within being a Rosh Yeshiva. I'll give you a simple example. When you look at his philosophy, you hear his drashot. The man was a magid. The man was a Baal Musa. At times, he used contemporary philosophy to expand his ideas. But you would never think of the Rav as a pure philosopher. You take his magnum opus, Isha Halakha, if you don't know what Brisk is about, you can't start to comprehend Isha Halakha. You have to be a Briska. All right. And then he puts it into universal philosophic terms. The Sri Deyesh, there was no harmonious relationship. It coexisted. At times he was in conflict. At times he could be very sharp. But I'll tell you what's amazing about him. And if I can come back to the Monday class, Lahavdil, oh boy, it's now I can't tell them to be quiet because it's really Rosh Chodesh Adar. Before, what are you singing? It's not Adar yet, it's still Shvat. But now, all right, Baruch Hashem, Yishenit Nasadam Abim B'Simcha, Baruch Hashem. By the way, I'm very happy to see advertisements in all the weekend papers against drinking on Purim. Rakefet signs on. It's a niset, the oraita, to drink on Purim. What I saw last Purim, frightening. So we don't fulfill a little minute. If you want to be a tzaddik like Rakefet, daven mincha, take a little shot of some liqueur or liquor and go to sleep. And believe me, when they wake you up, you're not going to know the difference between Baruch Haman and Arah Mordechai. Back here. Rabbi Chilak of Weinberg never was able to combine it. But what was amazing, as big a professor as he was, as big a genius as he was, and Gentiles, professors, mobbed his public lectures, and his command of language, German, fabulous. He never stopped being a little yeshiva boy. And he used to say, you can't be a great Jew, a great Talmud Chacham, unless you learned in Slabodka or Mir. And if I can make the comparison, Lahavdil, our friend Jacob Schiff, whether he's Jacob Schiff or Reb Yankel Schiff, and I have to laugh how I scored a victory there. I wrote the song called Gahabam Tafis. That, well, you can say what you want. Strattler can get away with anything, but Rakefet grabbed him on this point. Jacob Schiff used to say, you can't be a good Reformed Jew unless you grew up a good Orthodox Jew. Quote, end quote. You'll find that in his biography. It's quoted by Moshe Davis in Immersions of Conservative Judaism. So, Lahavdil, that was Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg. Now, you'll understand in a minute why I'm telling you this. Yes?
You've heard of Sidney Hillman?
Sidney was a labor leader.
Okay. You know, he was secular as can be.
Right.
You know that he had smicha from Bologna?
No, I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me. Because some of the biggest leaders of socialism and Zionism were first-rate Talmidei Chachamim, maybe asked them to. They're trying. Daniel, you look gesund. You're afraid. Wow. Yeah, but they're coming back. Tell them the other end, the other end. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Now, when it comes to Kitvei Yad, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg sounds exactly like Professor Lieberman sounded when he gave a public talk at the seminary. The world was shaking. It was a smaller world, and we still had, just as we had social contact with Chaim Berlin and Teira Vadas when I was growing up, with Lubavitch, and you knew what was going on all over. We had contact with JTS. And at one of the graduations, Professor Liebman got up and said, we at JTS, where are we different than a traditional yeshiva? We study like the Vilna Gaon. We look for proper manuscripts. We search libraries. And what we do is exactly what the Vilna Gaon did. My dear students, this is exactly what Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg said. Now, I'll tell you where it's published. And here you have a problem. I've alluded to it over the last years. The original publication, the Sri Deyesh, was done by Mossad Rav Kook. And here there's an unbelievable story. The Sri Deyesh went through the hell of the Holocaust. He was all alone. He was in Warsaw. There were rumors he lost his mind. He was in the ghetto. He survived the ghetto. He was an internment. He had foreign citizenship. He went through hell. When he finally survived, almost everything he had written was destroyed in the Warsaw ghetto. His key student was Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Berkowitz. Rabbi Berkowitz got out of Germany to England in the late 30s. Rabbi Yaakov gave him a great deal of his kitvei yad. Rabbi Berkowitz was in London, and to his great credit, the Blitzkrieg, you know what the Germans did to London, to England? Whenever the siren rang and they ran down to the metro, which was the bomb shelter, it's built way below the ground. It's if you want to see a real metro built as a bomb shelter, go to Moscow. You can't believe how low you go down into the metro. Whenever he went into the bomb shelter, he took the kitvei yad of his Rebbe with him. He carried it with him at all times. Following World War II, Rabbi Chaim Yaakov winds up in Switzerland. Rabbi Eliezer Berkowitz, no, tell me where he winds up, in Chicago, Hebrew Theological College, what you call Skokie today. Now you have Mossad Rav Kook. There's a little money in the world. They start publishing the Sri Deyesh. I believe, you can check it all out, I believe two volumes came out while the Sri Deyesh was still alive. He died in 66. Two more volumes came out afterwards. In the last decade, his Talmud Muvhak, Rabbi Avraham Abba Weingart, reissued the Sri Deyesh in entirely new format with new material, but leaving out the material that was scientific Jewish scholarship. And as Avraham Abba told me, we know him as A.B. A.B. told me he's going to put out a separate volume, his son is working on it, on the scientific scholarship. Now that has not come out yet. What I'm about to quote to you, I could not find in the new edition. So I'm quoting it in the original edition. We have both editions down in the library. I'm quoting from the Mossad Rav Kook edition, the original edition, Chelik Shlishi. And it's entitled, it begins on page Tuf Aleph. Tuf Aleph. And it's right at the end, and it's entitled Tikkunei Sfarim Kadmonim. Emendating, editing, critical editions of classic Sfarim. Only the Sri Deyesh could write this. Moriah Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik could never write it. The Chazon Ish could never write it. Lubavitcher Rebbe, no. Sri Deyesh, absolutely. He literally follows in the path of Gedolei Chokrei Yisrael in contradistinction to Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael. Okay. Now, he begins very, you got to remember, he was a shtut rav. Not only was he a shtut rav, I told you he had a bad marriage, right? I gave you the details. It's no secret. Art Scroll would have a very big problem publishing a biography of the Sri Deyesh. These details are too well known for them to leave out. It's like last week when I told you about the critique of my classmate, Dr. Grach, on his brother-in-law. I had to do that because so many people know about it. I was fearful people would say, Rakefet is covering up. He speaks about Professor Tversky. Baruch Hashem, I think I did it, and I did it properly. So Sri Deyesh had been a shtut rav. But then as the rector or the dean or the Rosh Yeshiva, call him what you wish, of the Hildesheimer Rabbinic Seminary, every rav in Germany turned to him with their questions. So he had to paskin. And it's like Moriah Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik. All of you know that Rav Chaim Brisker destroyed Psak. Rav Chaim was not a posek. He couldn't be a posek. Rav Kaffet has lectured on it thousands of times all over the world, and including Gris Kolel, and written about it. And you know why? Because he always had dialectical thinking. The Rav, I think, would have been very happy not to have been a posek. I saw the Rav many times. I remember one time he came into class. I don't believe I've told the story in years. If you know it, cut me off. But one time he came to class and he was nervous. And we were chutzpah, the kids, you know, American kids are very inquisitive. And I remember I'm sitting here and I shoot it. Rebbe has to be 58, 59. Rebbe, why is the Rav so upset? And he took off his glasses and he confided in us. He said, well, I have to tell you what happened. Was at me a truffin in Boston, the Chabda Adotna Shailach Vesnish. And he told us an unbelievable story. He was shaking. What happened was very simple. Michael Miller spoke about it before class. This girl goes away to university. She meets a boy. She meets the brings the boy home. She's in love with this boy. Do you know the story? No. She's in love with the boy. And she's going to marry the boy, and the parents look at the boy and question him, and the boy's a nice fluff, don't get involved with him. Love wins out. She marries the boy. She comes back a few months later, broken, who knows what the boy did to her, and she wants a get, and the boy is a mamza, and he says, a get? I think the sum was $10,000. I don't remember exactly, but it was an astronomical sum for the late 50s. And never, they collect the money for the get, and now the Rav is holding the money, cash, and the boy is giving the get, and then he will give the boy the money. But the girl, very stupidly, who was in love with the boy and worshipped the boy, and he's the greatest boy alive, refuses to come to get the get. She doesn't asul this takel bifnei rasha. She doesn't want to look at that mamzer again. No, the Rav had no choice. He sends the get al yedei shliach, right? The boy who had once learned in his youth went into a beis medrash in Boston, and he was mavatel the get shelo bifnei hashliach. He remembered something, the sugya in Gittin, daf lamed gimel, nu, right or wrong. Gentlemen, now, the boy has the $10,000 in his hand, cash on the line, and the get may be no get. Can you imagine the Rav having to paskin this? All right, he claimed he found a way out, that he didn't use the proper lashon, he didn't really know what he was doing, he got testimony from the shtibble, they really didn't know what they were. You know, who knew how to learn at that stage? And the Goslin won't affect the get, but if he didn't know what he was doing, the Rav wrote a tshuva. Gentlemen, if anyone will find that tshuva for me, I will attempt to raise $500,000 for you across. You'll never have to work another day in your life. You just sit and learn. If anyone will find that tshuva, it has never surfaced. If the tshuva does exist, it probably was destroyed by vested interests. Adai l'chakima. No? Where else does the Rav not know where to paskin? Rav Kaffet writes about it. No, you don't. Who does Rav Kaffet write books for if not for you? Simcha, the Rav, the world of, AID, the woman who calls the Rav, and she says, Rebbe, she's a conservative rabbi, she says, I had a child by artificial insemination. I want to have another child. I asked my rabbi, he said to call you, you're the greatest rabbi in the world and you know everything. And the Rav tells her, I have to think about it, lady. This is a very difficult question. The Rav said, I don't know what to paskin. If I paskin, it's no good. It means the first kid is a mamza. If I paskin, she can do it. It means I'm being mati mamzerid, AID. The Rav didn't know what to paskin. You understand? But the rabbinate forced people like Rechiel Yaakov Weinberg, or the Rav in the Yeshiva, or Rabbi Rechiel Yaakov Weinberg in Hildesheim, or the Rav in RCA, chairman of the Halacha Commission, you have to give an answer. Chesky's grandfather, Rabbi Gorelick, is calling the Rav. He wants an answer. You can't tell him. Right, Soloveitchik, I'm your Talmud. Okay. So here he goes into a whole description. He says, I'm paraphrasing him. It would be very worthwhile if you looked at it inside. I know you're busy with your Adaya and Gemara, but you have the Sefer. And he says, the hardest part of being a Rav is being a Posek. How do you know how to Paskin? There's so much machloket, but he says, what's even worse, how do we know we have the right manuscripts? And then he goes on to explain. He says, look, before printing was invented, what did they do? They copied manuscript hand to hand. Well, you copy a manuscript. Could you imagine you're copying Rashi on Masechet Shabbos? It's inevitable. There have to be mistakes. Not only that, you have Rishonim. Then they print. Who prints? The printer takes any manuscript. The printer's not a Gaon. The printer's not a Talmud Chacham. The printer is not comparing Kitvei Yad. They take what they have. And they go and print something which is incorrect, and they perpetuate it. Because you see it in print and you think, wow, this is sacred. Not only that, where are the manuscripts? Remember, he's writing this 100 years ago. Where are the manuscripts? Where do you find the manuscripts? Who knows where the manuscripts are? And he says, now, thank God, we've developed library science. And people now start to understand that their manuscripts in various libraries, in the Vatican, in order to have a proper issue of the Rishonim, we have to compare the manuscripts. And only then will we know what is correct and what is incorrect. And he says, many of the Achronim just took for granted, this is the manuscript, this is what was printed, this is what we have. And he gives an example from your ballpark, your Adaya. I checked it out. I'll tell you what it's about very briefly, because once we get into it, it'll take another hour. But your Adaya Simen Sadi Dalet. You may have discussed it with Rabbi Betnash. Sif Hei. Sif Katan Tet Vav. And he's dealing there with the Shach and the Taz and the Ramah. And he says it is only the Shach who has it right, because he went and checked earlier manuscripts of the Rishonim, various printings of the Rishonim, and he quotes the Shach, and he shows you that he checked two different editions and he found the correct reading. And that's why the Shach took issue with the Ramah and with the Taz. And he said, I'm not praising the Shach because I think he's a bigger Talmud Chacham or a bigger Chassid. No, but I'm praising the Shach that he had. He calls it Hora'at Hapanimit. I think we would call it intuition in modern English. That he had the intuition to understand something is the matter with the text. And if something is the matter with the text, he checked it out to the best of his ability, and he was able to come up with the proper psak. And he says, now that we start to understand what's available in libraries around the world, this has to be our task. We have to be certain we have edited critical editions of the Rishonim and of the early Achronim. Wow, wait, we're just beginning. Yes, Herbie.
The manuscripts, the Geniza in Cairo.
Yeah, we're well aware of it, yeah.
And a lot of important stuff is being sold to some church now.
No, it's not being sold to some church. Chas v'chalila. What's happening today with the Gnez in Cairo, they are making it available via a website. It's being, how can it be sold? It belongs to Cambridge University. They're selling what? But they're codifying it. In other words, they're selling it after the Peseda. All I can tell you is they have Kitva Yad of the Rambam. You know what that's worth? A Jew will put up
1.2 mil.
Then they're selling 1.2 mil is nothing with nothing. They're selling, if they're selling a Ketav Yad of the Rambam, a Ketav Yad of Rabbi Yosef Karo, all right, Peseda, bring me the issue. Today's post, or maybe I can look it up tomorrow. Okay, Peseda, I have to see it. But do you have any idea what a Ketav Yad? I was in the Geniza. A Ketav Yad of... No, not Cairo. Cambridge. A Ketav Yad of Rabbi Yehuda, of Rabbi Yosef Karo, a Ketav Yad of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi, a Ketav Yad of the Rambam, a Ketav Yad of Rabbi Shlomo Alkabetz, the author of the Lecha Dodi, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's worth XXXX millions of dollars, what you pay for a Rembrandt, Ribbono Shel Olam. So you tell me 1.2 million, maybe they're selling a few little artifacts. But I can't believe if Cambridge University is off service with money, the world is coming to an end. Now,
what about the original Geniza?
No, there's nothing there. It was all emptied out. The Schechter, before Schechter, things were taken. Schechter didn't leave until he had anything of value. He had everything of value taken out. Now, if you go further, in Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, he introduces one of the greatest achievements of the 19th century. And he speaks about Digduke Sofrim. Now, if you're not familiar with the Digduke Sofrim, we have it in the library downstairs. Let me just say a few words about it, because this is the classic work that opens the whole world of Torah scientific scholarship in this field. The Didache Sofrim, Reb Rafal Nutan Netta Rabinovich. His years 1835 to 1888. Here is someone born in the total ghetto of Torah life, and sitting and learning, he goes to many cities, never learned in a yeshiva, learned with this rav, that rav, a mind that knew everything. And somehow, what attracts him is Kitve Yad. And he's the first one to put out an organized edition of Shele Teshuva, the Maram Mirutenberg. That's the Talmud Mufak of the Rush, the Maram Mirutenberg. We're talking about Echad Echad Migidole Yisrael. Or am I inverting it? One second. Is the Rush his Talmud? Did I invert it? Or the Maram is the Rush's Talmud? Or excuse me? The Maram was the Rebbe. I inverted it. That's what I said. Why didn't you correct me? Okay, you see, I corrected myself. The Maram Mirutenberg, Eime Shivinet Tatari Lachamoto. The Maram Mirutenberg, who was ransomed, the whole story, refused to let himself be ransomed. What a story. What an individual. So he was the first one. He put out the edited edition. By the way, in Alon Shvut, they just put out the third edited edition. It's since Rabinovich's edition, there was another one, and now there's a third one. And if I'm correct, you have to know someone who's an expert in the field. Dr. Agus, Bernard Revel Graduate School, my time, was an expert in the Maram Mirutenberg. He wrote a number of volumes on the Maram Mirutenberg and put out endless tshuvot of that period, edited tshuvot. And he edited it, and he had haskama from many Gedolei Yisrael, including Reb Yitzchak Elchanan Spekta, for whom this kollel is named. For your edification, he had haskama from Reb Yosef Shol Natanson, the Shoalumeshev, the Rav of Lvov, of Lemberg. Why is that important for you rabbis and scholars sitting here in Yerushalayim, in this room, in this building? Who donated this to Yeshiva University? Don't give Rakefet credit. He was the Makab Patish. That's a different story. Whose money is it? Reb Yosef Shaul Gruss. Named for the Shaul Umeshev. Mr. Gruss stood with me outside the building with his arm around my shoulder. And he was telling me who his father's Rebbe was. The Shaul Umeshev. That's Mr. Gruss's name. Joe Gruss. Named after the Shaul Umeshev. Exactly who gave the Digdik, who gave Rebbe Fol Mepneta Rabinovich Haskama. But that's not where it ends. Once he got involved with Kitfei Yad, he had a dream. And I don't want to go into details on dreams, the Rav Hirsch's dreams and the Rav's dreams, but gentlemen, if you're young, you have to have a dream. If you don't have a dream, even if you don't accomplish it fully, but at least you have a goal, you have a dream, you have a vision. Rav Hirsch had a dream, wanted to write an unbelievable perish to every mitzvah. Chorev is only an introduction. You know the Rav's dream. It was published, his introduction was published posthumously, basically. The manuscript was put aside in the mid-40s. He wanted to do a philosophy of Judaism based upon the halacha, that the halacha engenders a philosophy which is all-inclusive. All right? Neither man accomplished their full dream. Hirsch was criticized by Rosenblum, Zichrono Livracha. He was a head of Jewish studies at Stern College, Noach Rosenblum, all right, it's ancient history for you. He did a work on Hirsch, and he's critical, and it's not fair. You can't criticize someone who changed the world and got so busy with 1,001 objects and items and daily life. You follow me, Nathaniel? But you have to have a dream. Rav Nosson Netta Rabinovich, who was born into poverty, a poor, struggling family, married a girl with a PhD. Papa has dough. And that was the minhag. In other words, you're a Talmud Chacham, you get cast, you get support, daf sitzin and learning, and all your worries are accomplished. Believe me, that's what they're negotiating right now. The Yesh Atid and the Yesh Ovar. I just want to tell you in parentheses, if anyone says to me, I go to Yisrael or Shas, you will be fined 2 zuz for desecration of airspace. The Rebbe has given them a new name, Yesh or Va. Yesh Atid, Lapid, Bennett, Yesh Ova, Shas, Agudat Yisrael. The challenge to Rakefet and people of his ilk whose hearts are filled with Torah, how do we merge the past and the future into a magnificent presence? That's the task before us now. I hope Netanyahu succeeds. If he needs any help, knock on my door. We'll sit down for a half hour and we'll solve all the problems. So what I can solve, we'll do Friday night at the Kotel. Steve, you can testify the Ziknei HaKotel. We can answer any problems and we'll put the Yesh Atid and the Yesh Ova Eli into one. We're going to do it. Gentlemen, he had a beautiful dream. He got involved with Kitvei Yad. Why not re-edit the Gemara? Why not check out every variant reading? Why not try to reach an acceptable text? Go to the library, endless volumes to dig the case off from. He died a young man, pneumonia. They didn't have antibiotics yet. He completed in his lifetime about 85% of the work. The Digdakei Sofrim revolutionized scientific advanced Talmudic study. Mossad Yad Rav Herzog, not Mossad Rav Kook, but Yad Rav Herzog stood on the shoulders of Dikdikei Sofrim, and there are a number of Mesechta that they put out that 100 years after his work include everything that came along. It's a different world. The text is clear. The text is clean. The text dances in front of you. That's what Rav Weinberg praises. The Dikdikei Sofrim, fabulous. Then he's going to give three examples where major problems were solved by a proper text. I only want to refer to one of them. Beginning on Daf Tetvav, he goes in to the Ravid, Ra'abad. And here, he too, and Professor Tversky didn't have this available, but he too says many Perishim were written by the Ravid on many different Mesechtot. How do we know this? Because the Shita Mekubetzet, which was a compendium, quotes him. Other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashbad, the Rush, the Ran, the Magid Mishnah, quote him in their books. But they only quote Ktayim, paragraphs, selections. And even what they quote, they cut down in the middle. They're just quoting what they were interested in. And we know that there was so much more to the Ravid, but we don't have it. And then on page Tav Zayin, he says, I was always bothered by this. The Ravid is one of the greatest Rishonim. What happened to all this Perushim? Why don't we have an organized Perush? And then he writes, and mind you, he was in Germany. Where was Shmuel Atlas at this time? In London. And look what he writes, Sheyididi, Harav Hagon, Malatu Kvodo, Harav Reb Shmuel Atlas for London. Do you hear those titles, Chesky, that he just said about someone that I showed you last week, said a civil get is enough, that you don't need a regular get? You understand what I'm saying? Look at those titles. Wow. I heard he's going to issue Chidushi Haravit Labava Kama on the based upon the Ktab Yadi found in the British Museum. Lo nachti velo shakadati ubikashti yatanau lahamtsi li yatalera haga'a shel Chidushi Haravit. I pleaded with my good friend, let me see the manuscript, what you are preparing. And my good friend Hoil Betuvo, in his graciousness, answered, La'anot l'bakashi zu. And he sent me the Ktav Yad of his manuscript. Subsequently, he has this in brackets, the Sefer came out. And here he tells a story that he had written a chiddush in the late 30s on the Ravid, and he said this Ravid, quoted by the Shita Mekubetzet, can't be correct. This is Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg speaking. And I made an emendation, and that whole manuscript was burned in the Warsaw ghetto. But how happy I am that I see the manuscript of my good friend Reb Shmuel Atlas, and I look, my emendation was absolutely correct, and the original manuscript reads like I believed it should be. And I dance for joy that I was able to lechavein el ha'amet. And then come the words. Unfortunately, most of the great Talmudic scholars don't appreciate this field of research. Avolcho v'chi lefasama, Ula hafitza ben shurot halam damnim. It's a chovah, an obligation. Let the world know, let the lamdanim know, let the rabbanim know, let the rashi yeshiva know. This is so important to get a proper text. L'man chemit et chakirat ha-talmud v'alacha al basis madai eitan. To put the research of Talmud and Halacha on a proper scientific, honest approach. Kefi shehivinu g'dalei chadarot ha-kodmim k'gon Rabbeinu Hagadol Hagon Rebbe Eliyahu Mi Vilna. Gentlemen, you heard those words? Not mine, not Reb Shaul Lieberman. These are the words. One second, let me. These are the words of Reb Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, the Sri Day. And here's where you have a real problem. Will the real Sri Dei Eish stand up and take a bow? Will you ask the Rav to take a bow? With all that he was involved with, there's no question. It's the Rosh Yeshiva. As the Rav said, the world calls Rav Moshe the Rosh Yeshiva and calls me the Rav. Rav Moshe's the Rav. I'm the Rosh Yeshiva. What's a Rav's tafkit? Lefsok shaylat? Paskin in shaylas? Rav Moshe paskin sendless shaylas? What is my forte? To give shayurim. You follow me? The Rav, there's no problem. Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg? Who is he? The Slabatka Yeshiva boy? The Miri Yeshiva boy? The Ilui? The Pilchuk of a Rav? Or is he the rector of the Hildesheimer Rabbinic Seminary and one of the great scientific scholars of his times? Wow. And this is why, if you recall or you want to research, there was such machloket following Mark Shapiro's doctorate being published. A Rav in London, I believe he was a Dayan, he died young, died very young. Oh, he attacked Mark, not describing the Rabbi Chil Yaakov I knew. Others answered him. Tremendous debate raged. And Rakefet made a living, if we can call it a living, out of lectures such as compare Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weinberg and Mori Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Dov, Halevi Soloveitchik. Where are they similar? Where do they differ? And you've seen it. But what's most important, Rabbi Yechiel Yaakov, does he agree with the Chazon Ish? Does he agree with Rav Soloveitchik? Does he agree with the Lubavitcher Rebbe? Does he agree with Rav Nasha HaKatan on this issue? Absolutely not. Okay? We're ready to move. Give me a chance to catch my breath. By the way, I have good news. A Talmud of mine in America, Dov Reifer, encouraged us. He was willing to get us a whole set of the Mishnah Halachot of Reb Menashe Cotton Klein. And due to his encouragement, Rabbi Bednar searched the Israeli scene, and we've come up with a set. If you know anyone going to Ramat, anyone who goes to Ramat in the car and can bring the set back, please talk with Rabbi Bednar. We need someone to pick it up. If anyone has connections with Ramat, we can arrange the majestical transfer of Rabbi Klein's Mishnah Halachot to the Beis Medrash of Gris Kollel. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Haolam, she'akol nihyeh b'dibro. Okay, now, much more than the Sri Deyesh, I make my case, or I make this case, in this point of view, even stronger. And gentlemen, I have to caution you again. I know that many of you felt hurt by some of the comments attributed to Rav Ovadia Yosef. You have to separate Rav Ovadia, the Gadol Shebegadolim, from Rav Ovadia with his political involvement. Leave it at that. I long ago learned to make that separation, and that's why I have achieved old age in health and happiness. I'm even a kid again, because if I'm not mistaken, next week, or even this week already, the pitches and catches report for spring training. And this week, let us not forget. What's the exact date? The 14th? That depends on the team. Okay, this week. He's Philadelphia. I'm a Yankee fan, but we have to be broad-minded. Baseball is baseball. Be'ezrat Hashem, if there are not too many drugs around, too much dope around, we'll be very happy. Gentlemen, Rodriguez, boy, is 177 million. I can play third base better than he can today.
The Hebrew hammer.
He's on drugs. What do you want? The Hebrew hammer. He's not even Hebrew. His mother is not Jewish. Its father is Jewish. All right, someone's lined us in. I hear the people around the world in South Africa, Australia, etc., probably wondering what we're speaking about here. But you see, this is some of the comments you heard are not from young kids in their 20s. These are gentlemen who have seen life. And you see, they're sitting here, little children again, Baruch Hashem, just like the Rebbe. Gentlemen, not only that, one of the Sfarim I purchased in memory of my mother, some of you know that my brother and I took 18,000 shekel and we divided it up in memory of my mother and father, Zichronim Levracha. So my brother's children are Rashi Yeshiva, they got 6,000 shekel, my mother's charities got 6,000, and Gris Library got 6,000. So we're trying to buy up books for the 6,000 that are of interest to the Rebbe, the students, and to Gris. We just put into the Beis Medrash, as I mentioned to you, and it's worth looking at, 5 magnificent volumes on Shelet and Shuvot that you can look at it and get so much information. So what I'm coming into is the Pe'er Hadar. Now, when you heard the word Pe'er Hadar, some of you may not recognize it. It goes back to the Rambam, and it goes back to one of the tremendous problems we have in Torah scholarship, or in general, it may be a problem that applies to anyone of esteem and value whose correspondence is important. All of you know that many Rabbanim put out Sfarim in their lifetimes, but many Rabbanim write endless answers to questions. Do they keep copies? Reb Moshe, I have a manuscript from Reb Moshe, and it's very valuable. I've plasticized it many decades ago. But what's interesting about the manuscript is that things are crossed out, things are written over, and people explain to me that Reb Moshe writes an answer to you, and then he copies it. He keeps the perfect copy. He sends the one with the crossouts and the emendations to the person who asked it. And I don't want to go into more detail, but even the way he crosses out, I took it to a professor of manuscripts in Bernard Revel Graduate School, Professor Morris or Moshe Lutsky, Zichrono Livracha, and he explained to me what the different ways of crossing out are and what they mean. And it was very, very fascinating. And he was absolutely right. So you don't know what happens. Many people write answers, and they don't keep a copy of what they're writing. They write. So when someone passes on, you take the Rambam, who wrote the Mishnah Torah, Mimei Moshe Ad Moshe Lo Kam K'Moshe. You'll see what the Maitreister has to say about the Rambam. It'll pop you. You'll see how he defends himself. In the Monday class, we'll get to it. Everyone wanted his letters. Letters circulated. Many years later, an edition of his letters, or some of the letters, came out called the Pe'er Hadar. Now, when you deal with his letters, you have tremendous problems because these letters were originally written, many of them in Arabic. He responded to the question in the language it came to him. And most of us are like that. If someone will ask me a question in Hebrew, I'll respond in Hebrew. If they'll ask me in Yiddish, I'll respond in Yiddish. If they'll ask me in English, I'll respond in English. In other words, if you have the command of the language, you're going to respond. It's not like the Mishnah Torah that he wrote in Hebrew because he considered this a matana l'dorot. Unlike the Guide for the Perplexed that he wrote in Arabic, which was for the perplexed of that generation that spoke Arabic. Now, the Rambam, you find these Kitva Yad here, there, everywhere. Then they have to translate from the Arabic. So it's a tremendous problem. What is the real Rambam? What are the real Tshuvot? What are reliable? You look into Kuntras HaTshuvot HaChadash that we just put into the library. You look up Pe'er Hadar, and you get a whole explanation when it was written, when it was published, when it was collected, when the first edition appeared. It's all in Hebrew, Taksa, I believe that's 1765, if I'm not mistaken. You can translate it and see that's when the first edition appeared. And then it was subsequently published, and then I have to tell you, more Tshuvot appeared, and Professor Avram Chaim Freiman issued Tshuvot HaRambam in a much more inclusive edition in 1935, I believe it was. You can check it out. Who was Professor Avram Chaim Freiman, Hashem Yikom Damo? He was a graduate of Hildesheimer. He knew everything. There are people like this. All of Shas, Poskim, Responsa Literature, professor at Hebrew University, a giant of Torah and Yirat Shemayim. I know the family until today. He was killed on the convoy going out to Mount Scopus. I think it's Ayin Chet, Rehov Ayin Chet. 78 people were blown away. And he was going, these were the Jordanians, lie in wait for them, and they had permission to go there. Because Hebrew University was an enclave. It was surrounded by the Jordanian troops, but the university was still in our hands, and the UN arranged they could go for to go to the library. There was a hospital there. Whatever the reasons were, he was going to the library to get out certain books, to return books, and he was killed. Lo aleinu. Now, in the 1960s, Professor Yoshua Blau put out the most current and outstanding and most inclusive edition of Tshuvot HaRambam in the mid-60s. It is three volumes. Professor Blau should live and be well, as in his 90s. He lives a 10-minute walk from here in the senior citizens facility opposite Shaarei Tzedek. What's amazing about Rabbi Yoshua Blau, who I had the privilege of davening next to for 42 years, until he moved, till he turned 90. What's amazing about Professor Yoshua Blau is he came to Israel a teenager, his family running away from Hitler. And he became the greatest expert in the state of Israel and in the world on the Hebrew language and on the Arabic language. And could you imagine, came here as a teenager, and he's a Talmud Chacham, and he was fabulous because he retranslated all the Arabic Tshuvot into modern Hebrew. So that in history volumes you have everything that's in the Pe'er Hadar, everything that Freiman published, plus everything that was subsequently discovered in Tool the 60s, and he was awarded Pras Yisrael for his epic-making work. He is a fantastic individual, a London, a Yerei Shemayim, a sense of humor, and a very admirable family that they were able to get out. But they not only got out, they were able to get their money to Israel. They had a business, the family was in business, and they were able to sell off at a proper price and transfer money here. And he lived for many years on right where you live, on Rehov Palmach, in that area. Now, the Pe'er Hadar is the basis. But before we come to the Be'er Hadar, which was edited by Rav Ovadia, the most modern edition was edited by Rav Ovadia's son, I want to introduce you to Rav Ovadia Yosef and some of the Klalei Psak. And what we're saying now, we're going to come back to and spend time on in months to come. But let me introduce it. Let's come into the problem we're discussing now. With Rav Ovadia's writings, we have a built-in quagmire. The man has published so much in so many different volumes. He has sons who work night and day to publish their father's Torah, particularly Reb Yitzchak and Reb Yosef and Reb David. And outside of the Yochaved Dat and the Abia Oma, which are his main volumes of responsa literature, everything else, you need a candle to locate it properly. So what I am quoting from is Shelet Tshuvot Yochaved Dat Chelik Rishon, published in 1977, and this volume is no longer available today. It is included in a volume that came out in 1985, edited by his son Reb Yitzchak Yosef, called Yalkut Yosef, Chelik Rishon. But I am quoting from the original time it was published. What I have in front of me is from the Yochaved Dat Chelik Rishon. It's amazing how much the man has published. Oh, 1 second, let me see. Let me correct myself. What I am quoting from is from the Yalkut Yosef, which came out in 1985. But the Yalkut Yosef assumes everything that was published in the Yochaved Dat Chelik Rishon, which was published in 1977. Okay, now, what do we have? Klalim after klalim, how my father paskins, and he gives you sources within Rav Ovadia where you can find halacha l'maisa he's dealing with it. And I give you an example, something that is of interest to you. This appears on page Reish Hei, Yalkut Yosef, subdivision Yud Bet, Ein Lemeidim Halacha Min Hagadot. Umihu B'makam Shein Lezastira Min Hashas, Lemeidim Min Hagadot LaHalacha. Gentlemen, I just read a sentence to you that you can do a PhD thesis on. Do you learn halacha from Hagadah? And Rav Ovadia says, black and white, if there's no contradiction from Shas, you learn from Agata. You know who wrote a great deal in this? Reb Tzvi Hirsch Chayat. Student's Guide Through the Talmud. Mavol the Talmud, translated into English. Student's Guide Through the Talmud has an entire chapter on this problem. Go further down. Klal Yutet. Ein Lechadesh Gezeirat acharei chatimat ha-Talmud. We cannot introduce gezeirat after the Talmud is sealed. Do you know how important this is? The New York Times last week did not know this klal, and it went and introduced the gezeirat acharei chatimat ha-Talmud. Because whoever wrote the article, an RJJ graduate, is an emeritus. And Joseph Berger is invited to come study in Gris Kollel in Yerushalayim. Who knows what I'm talking about? Gentlemen, you don't read the New York Times daily? What's going on here?
The world of the computer. Wow. Steve Gross, thank you for sending me the article. Let me not burden the boys too much. I have a Talmud whose job it is just to scan the New York Times and send me the articles of interest. The New York Times had an article last week on Hasidic dress on cold Shabbatot. And in the article it explains that Hasidic coats, the sleeves are much longer than the coat that Steve Bressler would wear. Did you read that in the New York Times? Do you know why? Because they can't wear gloves on Shabbos. And they put the sleeves over their hands when it is cold. Mr. New York Times, since when did you paskin you can't wear gloves on Shabbos? Of course you can wear gloves. Why can't you wear? There's only one problem. This the Achronim discuss. There is no mention of such a gezeira in the Talmud or in the Gaonic literature. Shema Yavira Dalet Amot. Yes, we talk about Lulav and Etrog. Yes, the shofar. Could be there's a gezeira, but not on gloves. And so, Homa Chloiket Achronim, if you learn Mishnah Brewer, you should be familiar with it. The New York Times Paskin Lechumra. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef would not agree. But here, we're coming in to our meat and potatoes. Ellie, you with me? All right. Joseph Berger, New York Times, RJJ. He needs to study in this kollel. Gentlemen, Reish Zion. Number one. Key. Who is our posek? Rabbi Yosef Karo. And no one is allowed to paskin against him. And not only that, the Ein Hamora Rishay LaRotu LaHachmi Negat HaRot Maram LaHakel Afilum Yesh Rabim Chokim Al Maran. And boy, you got to be Rabbi Ovadia Yosef to put this into print. That even to be Machmir, you understand? All right, we're not going to wear gloves on Shabbat. Chas v'chalila, you cannot paskin. If Rabbi Yosef Karo paskined one way, even if 1,000 people disagree with him, and he's lenient, the Mechaber is lenient, we have to follow the Mechaber. On Pesach, we had a Talmud in the Kolo last year, Eidot HaMizrach, Yosef Chaim, and he described the scene. He would go shopping before Pesach, and every Ashkenazi is looking at the ingredients, and he could throw anything into his shopping cart. He, Rabbi Yosef Karo, posek. And then he gives you many sources where Rav Avadia discusses this. Go one step further. Mihu, b'makom she'ne'alam mimoran divrei harishonim. Wow. Yesh lama, de'ilu, havei shamilei, Have hadabe v'yesh laharot k'divrei harishonim af lahakel. Gentlemen, if Moran, the Beis Yosef of Avadia, Rabbi Yosef Karo, did not know the source, did not see the source, did not have the source available, and we discovered the source today, we can be makel even against the Beis Yosef. Wow. Think that's something? Go one step further. Go one step further. Here. Im Akronim. I'm now quoting on page Reish Chet. Im achronim loda u ifdifra yachat mei harishonim shepasak lehefech amrinan ila shamilhu havei hadrei behen vahalacha kidivrei haposek harishon. Black and white. You come up with a new rishon, even if the Rishon goes against the Achronim, and even if he's Mekil, we Paskin like the Rishon. Rabbi Ovadia Yosef absolutely, totally, completely had no problem following the Ramah in Choshen Mishpat, literally. Doesn't go into a great discourse like Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg, doesn't go into the praise of the Dikdikei Sofrim and the praise of Chachmat Yisrael and scientific Jewish scholarship. But Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, a posek muvhak, and these are klalim that his sons derive, his sons excerpt from his voluminous writings. And he is black and white. And then, and let me end off, you take the Pe'er Hadar, you take the Shelet and Shuvat from manuscript, from Kitvei Yad, from Arabic translations into Hebrew, Pe'er Hadar, topics, subjects, responsa that no one saw. Rav Ovadia writes in the introduction, 100% you paskin like the Be'er Hadar, you paskin like the Rambam. You have no qualms about being Mekil if you found the tshuva of the Rambam that those who came after the Rambam never saw. So that Rav Ovadia Yosef and his sons come down 100% on the side of the Sri Deyesh, 100% in the world that feels so strongly new manuscripts can upset the configuration of the traditional classic halacha. The only exception they make, and I'll show it to you next week, give you the sources, is in an issue of Mamonot. What do we mean by that, Moshe? An issue of Mamonot? You see, in Issa Vehetta, what counts is the psak. And you can be Mekil, you have sources. Mamonot, there's always one problem. If we're fighting over $100 and you're holding the $100, you're the machzik. If you're machzik, it's in your possession, it's in your reshut. Hamotzi mechavero, olav haraya. So if there's a machloket, even if I find a new manuscript to bolster my claim, you can always say to me, bring me an absolute proof that this opinion is correct. I agree with the other opinion. So it could be by monetary issues, there, even finding a new manuscript will not upset the apple cart if someone is holding the money and he says to the other person, Amotzi mechavero av haraya, and you have to prove that your point of view is absolutely, totally, completely correct. But wow, what we have seen today, it's a different world, a totally different world than the Chazon Ish. So to reiterate, what do we do today? We finished out the Sri Deyesh. We dealt with his whole approach, who he was, the personality, the Vilna Gaon, the sharpness, how sharp he was, how dedicated, Chochmat Yisrael, Dako Shogra, exactly the words of Reb Shaul Lieberman at the seminary. Who is the real Sri Deyesh? Or are they two? two Sridayesh who lived in one person concomitantly, concurrently. Could be. Fascinating. But that was the Sridayesh. We spoke about Rav Natan Netta Rabinovitz, the Dukduke Sofrim. We went into Rav Avadja, the Posek, his sons. We'll talk a little bit more on the Be'er Hadar next week. And then I'll refer you to an article in Tradition which gives all the sources, or many of the sources. And then we begin the most major topic we will ever hit upon. How do you paskin? Can you differ with the Shulchan Aruch? You just heard what Rav Avadya Yosef said. Moran, kibalnu psakav, chas v'chalila to differ. Fascinating topic. Be'ezrat hanotein le'yav koach. Tomorrow, I wouldn't miss, for all the bullets that are being shot in Syria today, the miracle as what is today YU moves further. Talmudical Academy, Teachers Institute, reads Gedolei Rashi Yeshiva. Certain shiurim I will not be able to get through without shedding many tears, but at least we'll get the facts out, Be'ezrat Hashem. Yes, Daniel.
Dear Rabbi, I think some of us need some clarification on a point made earlier in this year, not in the Torah part. You're referring to the Hebrew hammer, and we want to clarify who you're referring to. I googled it. There are three players.
I think Braun is his last name.
Oh, yeah, now.
Yeah.
Also,
Hank, you're hammering Hank Greenberg.
And Al Rosen.
Al Rosen, Gedolei Moshe Baaretz. Don't mention the same name with Braun. Al Rosen, in general, had real Jewish identity. Hank Greenberg had, but he lost it in World War II. He raised his kids afterwards without religion. It's a terrible story. He came from a frum house. He lived around. My father played Sandlot Ball. My father and Hank were a year apart. Hank was born 1911. My father was born 1910. They grew up around the corner from each other. Washington Avenue, and Hank lived around the corner. They played Sandlot baseball in Crotona Park. You got to remember, I went to yeshiva. 95% of the kids were from Yiddish-speaking homes. They were survivors or had come run away in the late 30s. And when they knew, my father knew how to play ball. My father played. I was a hero. But this Braun, whatever his name is, his father was Israeli, married a Goya. And he's a very good ball player, but now with the steroids, if I would take steroids and be five times my size, I also could be a boxer, a wrestler. You understand? Where do you draw the line? Tell me, think about it. Is a Rebbe allowed to take steroids before he gives shiur to get high? Think about it. Chabad, I remember I wouldn't drink. I was a kid. I was always afraid of drinking. So they used to say to me, but you have to get Lebedik. I say, I'm Lebedik just looking at the Rebbe. Cook on the Rebbe, bin ich Lebedik. Okay, so that's tomorrow. 1 second. Gentlemen, I want to tell you, I had a big thrill. Let me just see what I... that's for tomorrow. Okay. I had a big thrill. I was given the Sefer a gift on Shabbat. And I take a look. Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, Penine Halacha. And I take a look translated from the Hebrew, Yoshua Wertheimer and Moshe Raps. So I asked Moshe this morning if this is he, and he pleaded guilty. So now I really have to look at the volume and see. Now what's very fascinating, I told Moshe, Rabbi Eliezer Melamed, right? You know who he is, Rosh Yeshiva of HaBracha, right? And the right wing, 100% like Rakefid, and even more, because Rakefid in theory is right wing. In practice, he lives in Yerushalayim, Davins at the Kotel. Big deal, right wing. But Kanayin Hara, Rabbi Melamed, I know him. I knew his in-laws. His wife was raised across the street from me. And is the Wilk family. When I started working in the encyclopedia, Mrs. Tova Wilk, Zichrona Levracha, worked in the office there. And she was so impressed. I remember she asked me, when I came in Aliyah, there were no Americans here. It was a different world. There was nothing. And I already came, there was something. The people who came in the 40s said, you're complaining, and we would compare notes, what they had and what we have. Oh, wow. So I used to tell her, whatever problems I have, when I go to the Kotel Friday night, ends all my problems. And she repeated that and repeated that. She quoted me all over. She was so moved. To me, it was axiomatic. Her father, Rebbetzin Melamed's father, was an old-type Yeki, the nicest guy alive, a professor of education, a little beautiful man, a total dove. The Yekis, all the from Yekis, give it away, give this, a total dove with Rabbi Lichtenstein, Maimad, one of the founders. And take a look what came out of that house. So Baruch Hashem. Finally, this is a picture that a Talmud of mine, Josh Schneider and myself, we have identified every rabbi in this picture except the one at the, when I look at it, it's the extreme right. When I'm holding it up, it's the extreme left to me. If anyone, if you can look at the picture and anyone knows, it's pictures of the rabbinate out of the 1960s. If anyone knows who that rabbi is at the extreme end, I would so appreciate it. Of course, everyone else we identified. My dear students, we should only have Besora covered. I extend condolences to one of our students, Danny Schulman. His great uncle died today, and his great uncle is known throughout the world. And there's a lot to think about in his life and in his message. And he should be a good, the better from Wins Island. Till we meet again in health and happiness. Das Vedanya. Anyone know? Anyone have an idea?